singing. That this lapel mic of ours, it doesn't. I'm good at yanking these things apart. I'm used to throwing them in my pocket, so I don't know what to do with this. And so I'll put it in my pocket, I guess. Man, it's got to go in the right pocket, otherwise I'm all out of sorts. Good to be here tonight. Appreciate all this nice cool weather. Thankful to be able to come up here just because my last name's freezing. Y'all didn't have to accommodate that way, but I'm thankful. As I said, I enjoy that good singing. That it is well with my soul. It's one of my favorite hymns. Matter of fact, I have it on the back of my Bible cover here. And it's a blessing to me. It meant something very dear about 25 years ago. And just been dear ever since. I just get a real blessing every time I hear it. Every time I hear it sung. And also, that's special. You know, it's hard to get special sometimes. Our song leader's real good about people volunteering. He goes around and says, "You just volunteered for a special." And so he's real good about having people volunteer. But that that song reminded me. We had, about this time last year, we had a young man, young girl, going to Missouri Southern University, brought a young man she had met and brought him to church, Michael Chang. And he came about a year ago, got saved about a year ago, been coming to church ever since. I've put him to work at the cabinet shop now, so he has to be around me a little bit more. But about a month ago, I actually had him preach, and he preached for about 10 minutes one time. We had a preaching thing. A bunch of guys got up and preached for 10 minutes. We had a youth night about a month ago, and all the youth and all the different departments got up and did something, and he preached for about 20 minutes and did a fantastic job. And that's exactly what he preached on, the Lord being in the bottom of that ship. And boy, it was good. You have a young Christian like that. His mother's Jehovah Witness. And when after he got saved, they brought in everybody they knew from about the four-state area to try to convince him to come back to the fold. And needless to say, he can hold his own now. He's doing well. And it has a real burden for his family. But he was up there preaching, and he was talking about the Lord being at the bottom of that ship and the ship filling full of water, and the disciples run down to see him. And they said, for some reason, he said, "I just don't think that water would go underneath the door where the Lord was." He said, "I think that stuff just piled up in front of the door. What's all this water doing here?" "Well, it won't go in there. He's the one that parts the water." And I said, "Hey, that'll preach." Amen, amen. That's good. Open your Bibles tonight, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. It's a great honor to be able to be here with you tonight, to be able to stand in this pulpit. I know your pastor. Your pastor has been a friend, a long-distance friend, but he's been a friend. He mentioned the Beermans, and I've known Joel. Him and I went to Bible school together. He's been a good friend, and I hope you won't hold that against me, but... he has been, and that's how I found out about your pastor as well, and heard all kind of things about him, and glad to be able to be here. And I've got to bend his ear a time or two when he's come down about some different things, and I just appreciate that. Amen. I think I said that how you had it, isn't that how you had it written out, brother. I appreciate it. Okay. Amen, brother. Thank you. All right, Deuteronomy chapter number 6. I'm just going to read a couple of verses here and we'll get started. It says in verse number 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you again tonight, Lord, just thankful for the opportunity to be able to be here. And Lord, Lord, we don't consider this a light thing. Anytime we open up this book, anytime we have the opportunity to be able to stand up and preach, Lord, we know that there's always things that fight against us. Lord, just the world, the flesh, and the devil. Lord, just distractions that take place. And we ask tonight that you'd have the preeminence in all things. Heavenly Father, Lord, what's done tonight you'd be pleased with. Lord, that hearts may be lifted up. Folks might be encouraged to serve you more. Lord, we might get a better attitude about serving you than what we have even today. Lord, I sure do thank you. Sure do love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, I know this is a very Familiar passage of Scripture, probably to most of you. Been quite a few years ago, I was in a nursing home. Somehow mom and dad still go to a nursing home. He preaches, he's about 80 now, and they still go every Saturday to a nursing home. And about as long as I can remember, we were down at a nursing home either on a Friday night or a Saturday night preaching. When I was in Bible school, I had the blessing of inheriting about three of them when I was down in Bible school, and just seemed to always be with them. And if you've, I know just in the short time I've pastored, in 12 years I've pastored, that it's just not a fun place to be. I was down at a nursing home, as I said, a number of years ago, and we got to meet the family. Got to meet the family of a lady, dear saint. And she was in there, and she was just slowly passing away. And the family met them every Sunday, got to know them a little bit. It wasn't long before Mom got in real bad shape. And when they had put her in the hospital, they wanted somebody to come see her. They called me. And I get down there, and I walk in, and I don't like hospitals. I don't like hospitals. I don't like hospital visits. You walk in the place, and you just get that odd, eerie feeling and all that stuff beeping and going off and seeing them folks lay in the bed. I don't like it. And walked in that room with her and all the stuff beeping. They said, preacher, she doesn't know anybody anymore. She's not able to recognize anybody anymore. And so we just sat there beside the bed, knelt down, had a word of prayer with them. And I said, I'll be here for a while. And I walked out in the hallway. And as I was out there walking up and down the hallway, the young man standing out in the hallway. And I realized he was standing over there by the room we were in. I walked over there to him and got to talking to him. And realized he was her grandson. And he was standing out there. He just wouldn't go in the room. Just didn't want to see Grandma like that. Didn't want to see Grandma on the bed. And so I talked to him a little bit and persuaded him to go in. I'd go in with him. And tried to get him ready for what he was fixing to see. Grandma's probably not going to know you. She's not going to realize who you are. And we walked in the room, stepped in the room, and I couldn't have been more wrong. We walked up beside that bed, and when we walked up beside that bed, Grandma's eyes just opened. And she recognized him immediately, who he was. And he reached down, and there just seemed to be new life and new vigor to her. And she reached up and gave him a big hug, and he gave her a kiss, and they cried a while and visited a while, and it wasn't long afterwards where we're getting ready to go, and Grandma says, come here. And he walked over, and she knelt, reached up to him as he gave her a hug and a kiss, and she said, there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. Sounds like music in my ears. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. And I sat there and I seen that as that dear saint was getting ready to part and go on to glory. And she wanted to tell her grandson something. Just one last thing. One last thing she wanted to tell him. She wanted to tell him, oh, how I love Jesus. And as I left that hospital, you probably wouldn't have even called it singing, but as I left that hospital, about the only thing I could think of was all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Boy, it's just a great thing to see. It was a great encouragement to see. And it is. It's important for a Christian to be in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important for you to be in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. The love of Jesus Christ, it can make you endure a lot of things. It's amazing where, when you're in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, where you'll go, what you'll do, what you'll accomplish, what you'll give, what you'll go through, just because you love Him. Just because you love Him. The most important thing that a Christian can get is a good dose of a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking just a head knowledge. I'm talking about a good dose of a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. So what I want to preach on tonight for just a few minutes is, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. With all that I believe that the Lord would have me do. I hope by the time I get to the end of things, I hope people understand that I have been sent to preach a message and been sent by the Lord Jesus Christ to preach the message given, but more than anything, that I am in love with the one who sent me. It isn't just something that's done out of duty. It's done because I love the one who sent me. And I believe it's important. Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 22. I believe it's important for one to be in love with the Lord. Boy, it sure makes serving the Lord a whole lot easier, doesn't it? It sure makes serving the Lord a whole lot better. Matthew chapter number 22, there's a lawyer that comes tempting the Lord. And when he comes tempting the Lord, he begins to ask the Lord a few things there in verse number 35. And he says, one of them came to him, a lawyer, asking the question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You go back to Exodus chapter number 20 and you see them 10 commandments, and I'm sure most of you could quote them. And them first four commandments that the Lord gives has to do with our relationship and responsibility to the Lord. He says, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And then the rest of them, from 5 down through 10, honor thy father and mother. Thou shalt not kill, shalt not commit adultery, shalt not steal, shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. It has to do with our relationship with our fellow man. On these two commandments, the Lord says, hangs all the law and the prophets. That is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Loving your neighbor will help you to keep from killing your neighbor. Right? I mean, if you have some neighbors like mine, well, you know, you go to church together. And you have some neighbors like mine, I mean, if you love your neighbor, it'll help you to keep from wanting to kill him, from being angry without a cause, from being envious of your neighbor, being bitter against him. And the same way, our love for him, our love for the Lord Jesus Christ, will cause our behavior to be what it should be in regards to him. Our behavior to the Lord, it ought not be something that's just done out of duty. Now, if you was to come home tonight, I've been married for a long time, and if I was to come home from work, and I work in a cabinet shop, and I'm a good environmentalist. I cut up as many trees as possible. And I come home from work and I have sawdust all over me, and I walk in the door and I say, well, I don't smell supper cooking. I've been working all day. The least I could do is come home and smell at least supper cooking. I mean, something burning, something going on in the kitchen. You can imagine. I mean, you can imagine. If you don't know my wife, she's a good Italian. And she can whip this German, I'm pretty sure. But she wouldn't put up with that for about 2 seconds. And you know what it's going to be? It's going to make things a little tense at the house. Can you imagine? And the Christian life, in this Christian life, you and I, we're pilgrims. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. There's been a spiritual operation performed on us according to Colossians chapter number 2, circumcision made without hands. And what you're in, you are in a body that is against God. This thing that you have to tote around on for right now is contrary to anything spiritual, contrary to anything godly. You say, boy, I'd like to spend some time in prayer. And the body says, just kneel down. We'll see where we're going from there. Right? I mean, you ain't going to kneel down. You're not getting me down there. And about the time you get down there, the body says, up, that's enough, let's go. And boy, things begin to hurt and things begin to creak. I mean, what you're wearing around is contrary to what's spiritual. It's contrary to serving the Lord. I mean, this body that we're in, this world that we're in, it's contrary to serving the Lord. And then the God of this world is doing all he can against us to keep us from serving the Lord as well. And you and I, we realize that we're just pilgrims. We're just strangers. We're just here but for a time till the Lord calls us home. This world is not our home. And the Christian life can be a grievous life if the love for Jesus Christ has grown cold. If the love you have for Jesus Christ has grown cold, this Christian life can be a hard life. You know what it can be? It can be, there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing this word. I think we sing this song every other Sunday, and I'm about sick and tired of hearing it. This is just something for the little kids to sing. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus because He first loved me. You ever have some people walk in the back door of the church and you say, boy, good to be here. And they go, amen. I mean, the preacher gets up here and he says, boy, it's good to see you. Heavenly Father, Lord, forgive me for lying this morning. I mean, that's the way sometimes you feel, right? I mean, you get up, hey, I pastor, you get up and you look at somebody and you're out there and you're preaching all you got and they look and they're going, I mean, they look down, you look over there, I have two guys that sit right over here on my left and I don't care what happens. By the time I get done reading, both of them are going, I mean, the head's nodding. I can walk over there and preach about 3 feet in front of them, and they'll wake up for just a few minutes, and by the time I get back up in the pulpit, they're nodding again. I'm going, goodness, man. I mean, this Christian life, this life we're living in, with this body that's contrary to serving the Lord, living in a world that's contrary to serving the Lord, and the God of this world that's contrary to us serving the Lord, I mean, when the love that you have for Jesus Christ has grown cold, this Christian life can be grievous to even endure. But for the Christian that's in love with Him, it wouldn't matter if you're sitting on a jail cell with the back full of whip marks and the blood running down on the floor. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. But boy, what a difference when that love for Jesus Christ has grown cold. Boy, what a difference when the opportunity, as we say, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ just doesn't seem like that great of an opportunity anymore. Boy, who wants to do something for the Lord? Well, I do, but I ain't doing that, and I'm not doing that, and I'm not doing that, and I'm not doing that. I remember when I first got out of Bible school, boy, I couldn't wait. I was chomping at the bit. I mean, I just couldn't imagine. Look out, world. Look out, devil. Here I come. And I'm ready to do something for the Lord. I mean, I'm just raring to go. And I didn't have a clue where I was going. I was born and raised in Texas. And I just figured I was going back to Texas. I mean, they're starving for Baptist churches in Texas. There's probably, 2,000 in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And they're just about out of Baptist churches down there. The church I grew up in was a hyper five-point Calvinist church. Didn't believe this book. That's how I wound up where I wound up. And there wasn't any going back there. And so I'm praying, Lord, what do I do? Lord, what do I do? And graduation time, Dr. Upman got up there and he said, well, there's a fellow here needing some help. Anybody want to go help somebody out? And I went, I'll go. Boy, that sounds good to me. Sounds great to me. And he says, yeah, well, amen. Looks like his fellow, he's from Texas as well. I said, praise the Lord, I'm heading back to Texas. Boy, it's good. It's not cold in Texas. And what we call cold, y'all call, spring. He says, amen, I'm about halfway down the aisle. Brother, come on down and get this. I'm about halfway down the aisle. He says, looks like he lives in Eugene, Oregon. And I went, oh no. Florida's a long ways from Eugene, Oregon. And I said, oh no. And I got down there and sure enough, yeah, you can just imagine, I wound up in Eugene, Oregon. And there I am. My wife and I drive up there and I found a job and a place to live, drove all the way back to Florida, packed up, drove all the way back to Oregon again. That was dumb. About 8,000 miles in about 2.5 weeks. And we get up there. I get in the church and I said, brother, what would you like me to do? I mean, I can teach adult Sunday school class, preach every night for you, whatever you want. What do you want me to do? I mean, I didn't say on that. But what do you want me to do? I'm ready to serve. I mean, I'm chock full, ready to serve. He says, brother, the ladies' bathroom, there's something wrong with the toilet. It won't flush. All right, what's that got to do with me? Amen. You wanted to do something there. There's your opportunity. I mean, all them, all them years of construction and building, and boy, here's your opportunity. So I get in there, and he said, "Brother, if you take care of that for me, it'd be a real blessing." I said, "Yes, sir." And so I get in there, and I get to messing with that thing, and at the time there's nothing in the toilet. Took the toilet up. It's down in the pipe somewhere. I get underneath that building, and that building was about a 90-year-old school building. They'd built a new school off over here, and I'm laying underneath there, and them big old cast iron pipes under there, and I'm laying under there with a big crescent wrench, and me and the Lord are having a conversation. I said, "Lord, I didn't go down to Bible school. I didn't just move 2,500 miles to lay underneath this building and work on a bunch of stupid cast iron pipes." Now, if you don't know anything about plumbing, you do not hit a old cast iron pipe with a crescent wrench. And I reached up and I hit that cast iron pipe, and needless to say, right where I hit that cast iron pipe had to have been where the clog was, because it all came out right there. I mean, there was a big hole in that cast iron pipe, and all of that stuff came out right there. You said, "What'd you do?" I closed my eyes. I held my breath. I'm laying there, and you know what I could hear? I could hear the Lord going, "Now, that's funny. That's funny." The Lord's laying there. He says, "Well, you're not too big for that, are you? I mean, you love me, don't you? I mean, if I wanted you to fix a plumbing pipe, you'd do that, wouldn't you?" You know what I did? By the time I left there, I just about remodeled that place by the time I left there. Listen, it isn't always what you want, but even in the most gruesome things, if that love for the Lord Jesus Christ is what it ought to be, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Full of glory. First marriage I got to perform was right there at that church. I still keep in contact with many of them folks right there. You know what I found it out to be? I found it out it wasn't grievous. It didn't matter what it was. It didn't have to be up behind a pulpit somewhere. It didn't have to be doing something that we might imagine to be some great thing, become some great orator. It's an opportunity to serve the one I love. I love Him. I love Him. There is a name I love to hear. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, "These things write we unto you that your joy may be full." Listen, you're not going to find peace and joy. There's some places you're just not going to find it. People are always trying to look for it in the wrong places. Lord says, "I can tell you," I write you a book here, 1 John chapter 1. "I can tell you how you have your joy full. These things have I written unto you that your joy may be full." And if you look at verse number 3, it has to do with fellowship. Verse number 6 has to do with fellowship. "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." But you're not going to find that kind of joy in family. You're not going to find that kind of joy in friends. You're not going to find that kind of joy in things. You're not going to find that kind of joy in hobbies. But people are always looking at it. People are always looking for it there. But when the heart's not right, the blessings of God become just a burden. Boy, you know what I have to do? I have actually caught myself doing this. I've got to preach tomorrow night. Rather than, "Boy, I get to preach tomorrow night." Well, there was a time, you know who I started preaching to? We used to have about 50 chickens out behind the house in Texas. I mean, I'm used to people just... I'm used to that. And I said, "Lord, if I just had an opportunity to preach..." Boy, when that becomes... "Boy, I have to teach a Sunday school class tonight. Boy, I'm going to have to get up and do a special. I'm going to have to get up and preach. I'm going to have to go door knocking. I'm going to have to do..." Rather than an opportunity to serve the one you love, it becomes nothing more than religious duty. It becomes nothing more than going to church. Prayer, when it ought to be you talking to the one you love, becomes nothing more than just grievous to the heart and soul. And when's the last time we sing "Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer," and the average Christian can't remember the last time they spent 10 minutes in prayer? What's happened? Well, the love of Jesus Christ has grown cold. Loving Jesus Christ, look at John chapter number 15. It's a matter of obedience. John chapter number 15, Bible says down in verse number 10, he says, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, and a man lay down his life for his friends. Loving Jesus Christ is a matter of obedience. You know what disobedience does? Disobedience affects our hearts. You disobey God, it affects that heart. It affects that relationship with Him. And if you're not careful, because of that disobedience, that love that you have for Him, it'll grow stale. You know what Christ said? Christ said, I kept my Father's commandments. His commandments weren't grievous. The Bible says in Jude, in verse number 21, He says, keep yourselves in the love of God. It's a commandment for you to do that. It's not this teenager puppy love. You don't just walk down the road one day and all of a sudden trip, fall, boom, I'm in love. You ever have to talk to young people and say, there's going to have to come a day, it's going to have to go beyond that. Right? I mean, there's going to come a day when she's there and she's looking at a laundry room and she's looking at a house and she's looking at a husband getting ready for work and she's going, this isn't what I anticipated. This isn't what I thought this was all going to work out to be. There's going to have to come a point. It goes way beyond that. And the same thing with the Lord. Loving Jesus Christ is a matter of obedience. He says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Bible says in Romans chapter number 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, them things ought not keep us from the love of Christ. Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. You know how come God gave you that book that you have right now in your lap? He gave you that book so your love between you and Him could be what it ought to be. You know what He wants. You know what He said. And He says, my commandments to you aren't grievous. He says, I've written these things that your joy might be full. I remember telling my son, first time I was, we used to tell him, and there comes a point to where all of a sudden they realize it. And we homeschool him and tell him, son, every day you need to read your Bible. And we'd ask him and his mother sat down every day reading the Bible. And I was telling him one day, we're talking, I said, how much of your Bible you reading? He said, 2 chapters. I said, all right, well, I think it's time you increase that. Let's get a little more out of it. Okay, all right. I said, and I come into him one day and I said, son, we've been having him read different books. I said, it's time. I want you to start reading from Genesis and read all the way through Revelation. And he's sitting there and he's looking at it and he looks up at me and he goes, all of it? And I said, yes, son, all of it. And Genesis, as you know, Genesis was fine, and Exodus was fine, and Leviticus was not so fine. And by the time you get into the Chronicles, he comes up to me and he says, all of it? I said, yes, son, you got to read all of it. And I remember, it's probably been 2 years ago now, he had read his Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And he came up and he said, I'm done. And I said, no, son, you just read it through once. Now you got to start over again. The whole thing again. I said, son, you're going to be doing this the rest of your life. You know what that's for? That's for you understanding who it is you have an opportunity to serve. And what he has told you isn't grievous. Obedience out of love produces a holy boldness and assurance. Well, you go up to a door and you say, you ever done this? You walk up to a door and you go, we're from Blessed Hope Baptist Church and we'd like to invite you to come to our church. Would you please come to our church and get a chance? Thank you. Turn around and walk away. And people stand there in the door going, what did they say? I don't know what they said. I don't know. Turn around and walk out. I've taken people with me on visitation and knock on the door and I go, you're up. I did that to my daughter. She's 9 years old this last year. We're standing in a neighborhood and I knock on the door and I said, Joanna, it's your turn. And she goes, to do what? I said, you have to talk. Here they come. And she goes, you have to come to our church. Sticks a track out and the lady kind of looks at me funny. I said, You heard her. Amen. You're going to have to come now. You wouldn't want to disappoint this cute little girl. I mean, you're going to break her heart if you don't come to church. That's the way you feel sometimes. You know what it is? When that love that you have for the Lord is what it ought to be, it'll produce a holy boldness and assurance. It isn't anymore just, well, you know what? You know, if you get a chance and you're not doing anything, there's nothing on TV, and you know, you've eaten everything, you can't think of nothing else to do, maybe you ought to come. No, it isn't. It becomes a, there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ears, the sweetest name on earth. Could I take a few minutes and tell you about the one I love? Could I take a few minutes and tell you about the one who died for me, the one who saves me, the one who wakes me up every day, the one who gives me an opportunity to serve Him, the one who's gone on to prepare a place for me, and He will for you if you'll accept Him as your Savior? That's what love for the Lord Jesus Christ will do for you. Real quick at 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. Loving Jesus Christ, it's a matter of obedience. 1 John chapter 2, the Bible says there in verse number 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know what this thing is? It's a tug of war for the direction of our affections. The Lord says, spend a little time with me. And the body says, spend a little time with me. And the Lord says, spend a little time with me. And the world says, spend a little time with me. And the Lord says, spend a little time with me. And the devil goes, you ain't got time to spend with him. It's a tug of war for our affections. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And the command of God is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. It's a command. It's a command. I can tell you this, God is worthy of it. He is worthy of your love. He is worthy of your affections. And when you don't show Him that love and affection, it just shows the weakness and the wanderings of our own heart. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And you know what you have? You have a choice in the matter. You do have a choice whether you want to love the Lord or not. Not all Christians love Him. I've met many a Christian. I've met many a person that at times I've questioned whether they were saved or not, but I don't think they had a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, they were saved, but as I said, He said in 1 John chapter 5, His commandments are not grievous, but there wasn't much of a love there. Wasn't much of a love there. A love of the Lord Jesus Christ, it brings about obedience, but it also brings about obedience with the right attitude. And obedience is one thing. Well, Lord, I did what You told me to do. Right? I get to pick on Him now because I brought Him with me. That's why. He's a good sermon illustration. I tell my son, I say, son, you need to take the garbage out. So he walks out and he reaches over and he grabs the garbage out of the trash can and he slams a garage door when he walks out, and he walks out, and I look out the window there, and I watch him take that trash and go, throw it in that trash can, and kick the trash can, and grab the thing, and do like this all the way down the driveway, get it all the way out there to the street, set the thing down in the street, walk back in the house and say, I took out the trash. Now, you know what I'm sitting there doing? Hold on just a minute, son. You and I are fixing to have another talk, bud. Now, you know what it is? He did what I told him to do. But he didn't do it with the right attitude. He didn't do it with the right attitude. And attitude is everything. It's possible to mistake your need of Him for your love for Him. Lord, help me to get there safely. Help this thing not to break down. Help everything to go just right. Lord, you stick that key in the car and you turn it and nothing happens and you go, I didn't need this today. Well, I don't know whether you did or not. I mean, children, they ought to obey. They ought to obey with the right attitude. I mean, obedience is one thing. I mean, we're given a command. We're told to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. All right, Lord, I'm sitting here in the pew. I love you. Well, I just read five chapters. I mean, what does that say? I mean, I just mowed the yard, the lawn out there. I'm pretty sure that's saying I love you. Right? I mean, I give you a good house to live in. I don't think I'd have to say it again. I like to pick on my wife all the time. I say, I told you that when we got married at the altar. I shouldn't have to say it again. Right? I mean, I cannot go anywhere without, I say, I'll be back in a minute. I live, you can see the church from my house. And I'll be running out to the church for something. And I'll hear, just a minute, just a minute. And here they'll come. I mean, here my wife will come. Got to give her a hug. Got to give her a kiss. And got to kiss the kids. Well, you may never come back again. I'm going to the church. I'll be back in 5 minutes. I mean, it won't take me long. But there's times I walk out that door and I go, I'll be back in a minute. And then you just stop. What are you waiting for? Well, I'm waiting for that kiss. I like it. I don't know about you. I don't find it real grievous. I enjoy being right. Listen, I like the fact that them kids come up and they run up and they give me a hug. I get done preaching and my kids walk up on before I'm even done. Walk up and give me a hug and especially Joanna now, she'll give me a kiss. Aaron, he just kind of leans over like this now, getting a little big for that. And listen, there's going to come a day where they really ain't impressed no more. I mean, that's gonna listen, them affections are gonna be pulled in different directions. Pulled away from Dad. Listen, you want to obey, you want obedience with the right attitude. There's a young lady named Jenny. She wrote Jimmy that she had broken off an engagement with Jimmy. And she said, "Dearest Jimmy," she said, "no words could express the great unhappiness I have felt since breaking off our engagement. Please say you'll take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart. Please forgive me. I love you. I love you. P.S. Congratulations on winning the state lottery." You know, sometimes we mistake our affections and we mistake our love for Him for our need for Him. And many times our attitude isn't what it is and isn't what it should be when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm trying to serve You. I'm trying to do something for You here. I'm trying to get something done for You. And the least You could do... Hold on there, buddy. Hold on. I thought it was you did what you did because you love Him. I mean, that's what we teach the little ones in Sunday school, isn't it? Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. It's a matter of obedience. But it's obedience with the right attitude. And you know what true love doesn't do? True love, it doesn't count the cost. It doesn't count the cost. It doesn't sit down and say, this is too much. I read a story one time of William Gladstone. He told of the death of Princess Alice of the House of Commons. And Princess Alice had went in to see her daughter. And her daughter had diphtheria, was laying there dying. And she had been warned when she went in to not get too near her, not to breathe in the air from her. And Princess Alice walked over, and as she knelt down, her daughter looked up at her and opened her eyes. And she reached down and she picked her daughter up and held her daughter's head in her hands. And her daughter looked up at her and she said, "Kiss me, Mama. Give me a kiss, Mama." And without even thinking, Princess Alice reached over and kissed her. And it wasn't long before her daughter had died. It wasn't long before Prince Alice came down with diphtheria and died as well. You know what true love doesn't do? True love doesn't count the cost. Doesn't count the cost. True love, it forgets self. True love doesn't sit down and say, "You know what? I just don't have time for this." True love, it knows no danger. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can many floods drown it. True love doesn't sit down and say, "You know, I just didn't have the time." True love sits down and says, "I'll make the time." Boy, what a time. I mean, this is a time to be treasured. Boy, this is a time I get to spend with the one I love. It ought to be dear. It shouldn't be grievous. And when the opportunity you have to serve the Lord becomes grievous, that heart's become cold and that heart's become stale. There's been times I have... And here lately was one of them. I was up at Kansas City and we had a young couple in our church had twins. They were born back in February, end of March. Twin boys. And they spent the first about 4 months of their life in the hospital. One of them had a bad heart. Had a heart valve that was bad. Had a hole hole in his heart, in the sac around his heart. And just 2 weeks ago, they had him up in Kansas City in the hospital there, and they had done heart surgery on him. And a little 8-month-old baby, crack that chest open, go in there and work on that heart. And I'm up there at the hospital with them, and boy, what a tough thing to see. And I'm sitting out there before we go in. I said, Lord, I don't know what's fixing to happen here. Lord, as we go in there, I'm going to please prepare me for whatever happens. If that baby's laying there and they're not able to, that child's not able to make it through, Lord, help me to be able to comfort that mama and comfort that daddy. Either way, Lord, show me and let me show to these folks here what needs to be done. Let them people in that hospital see the Christian example of a good godly father and a good godly mother. The one that's preaching for me Sunday night is the daddy. He's filling in for me this Sunday night. You know what true love doesn't do? True love doesn't count the cost. True love doesn't sit back and say, you know what, that's just more than I want. True love says, whatever it takes. Boy, it's an opportunity to serve. Loving Jesus Christ brings about service. The Bible says in John chapter number 21, the Lord is sitting here with His disciples, and it says, when He had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou Me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Well, it's getting a little tense, isn't it? You a little tense? I like to do that to my wife. I said, Do you love me? She says, Yeah, I love you. I said, Now say it like you mean it. I did. I said, No, say, Do you love me? I love you. I said, I love you. I said, well, that still doesn't sound quite right. I like to get this. She gets a little irritated at times, you know. I try to help her out. And she said, finally, she'll just grab hold of both my cheeks and go, mwah! That's enough. That's a nice way of saying shut up, is what it is. Things can get a little tense, you know. He sat there. Here, the Lord looks at him. He says, Simon, do you love me? I wonder if he stopped you today and he just looked at you and he said, Do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. All right. Feed my lambs. And then he looks at you a few minutes later and he says, Do you love me? Lord. You see who's here? You know, Andrew's never going to let this thing go. You keep asking these questions. I mean, this thing, they're never going to drop this when you're done. Lord, you know I love you. All right. Feed my sheep. Again, he saith the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Do you love him tonight? Do you love him? That lady that was in the nursing home, she lay in that bed. It wasn't long. Matter of fact, it wasn't very many hours after that she passed on and went on home to glory. You know what she got to do? She got to look at her grandson and she got to tell her grandson for the last time who it is she loved. I sit out there in the hallway with her grandson. I said, you know why your grandma told you that? And he said, she goes to church. She used to go to church a lot. I know that. I said, no, she told you that because she wanted you to know with her last words who it is she really loves. You know where she's going here in just a few hours? She's going to meet the one she's telling you about. And I got to be able to sit out there in that hallway and take a Bible and show that young man how to be saved. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, and verse number 3 says, And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, and this is why, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Hope maketh not ashamed. We love Him because He first loved us, but we love Him. We love Him. My hope and prayer tonight is you love Him. You love Him. You ought to be able to take an estimation if that heart's grown stale and that heart's grown cold. It's pretty easy to tell. It's pretty easy to tell. You know, most times you don't have to say. I've had a couple come up to me and sit down at my office before and say something in the relationship is just different than it used to be. Okay, change it. Change it. All right, do something different. It's in you to do. Listen, if the love between you and Jesus Christ has grown cold, it's grown stale, then change it. The problem obviously is not on His part. It's on ours. Kind of like the older couple driving down the road, and she's sitting over here, and she says, "You know, we used to sit next to each other when we drove." He said the steering wheel hadn't moved. Right? Steering wheel hadn't moved. I wonder who moved. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse number 12, "Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him." To them that love Him. 1 Peter chapter number 1, the Bible says in verse number 6, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love." You love. "Though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Sometimes you look around and you say, "I don't know, what's the difference? What's that person over there getting all excited about?" We had a revival meeting at our church last week, and we had a couple of young men got a little bit excited. It don't hurt you to say amen now and again. I mean, it might shock everybody around you, but I mean, they got a little bit excited, and they might get a little overexcited, but jumping up and screaming and hollering, you know, I just kind of laughed. But they ain't going to do nothing silly. I tell them to sit down, shut up, and get out of hand. But jumped up and, "Hey, man," shouting. And some of the men said, "Boy, I got a little excited there tonight." Hey, man, maybe you ought to get some life in you. Man, I wonder how long your marriage would last if you treated your wife the same way you treat the Lord. Amen. I mean, you know what the Lord said? He said, "Here's someone you hadn't seen. You hadn't seen. Whom having not seen, you love. Though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." I wonder what could make that man step over the bow of that ship and look down in them cold waters. As that captain said, "I believe your children are buried approximately right here." And turn around and walk back to that cabin and sit down in that cabin and take out a pen and go, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Boy, is it well? Is it well? But a friend of mine was in China, visiting China, a number of years ago, and he met a pastor over there. Had been in jail for 22 years, and he was talking to him about it. And he said, asking him how rough things were and how bad things were, and he said, "Well," he said, "the first 17 years was terrible." I can only imagine. I couldn't imagine. He said, "He said when he first got put in jail, he got put in jail for preaching the gospel, and they put him in jail. And he said, as he was there, the years just seemed to go by." And he said, the Lord just seemed to battle it out. "Lord, I mean, you called me to preach, you wanted me to preach, and here I am, I'm wasting my time, just wasting away in a jail cell." And he said, they came up after about 17 years, and He said there was two of them there. He said he was in there, and one of the other men that was in there at that time was a Catholic priest. And they told him, said, if you leave here and if you swear never to mention the name of Jesus Christ again, we'll let you go. And he said that Catholic priest jumped at it, walked out the door. And he said he stood there and they made him the same offer. And he said, if I agree to that, then the last 17 years was a waste. Was a waste. 22 years they let him out. Just got tired of dealing with him. Let him out. A preacher told me he was preaching 3 to 5 times every single day. He said, just an old man. He said, they'd just fill that house full. He said, they'd come in, they'd raid that place, they'd take everything he had. And he said, next thing you know, the next day he'd show up, everybody'd show up, he'd just right back to preaching again. You don't know him. I don't know him. But the Lord knows him. He doesn't have anything. Listen, there isn't any ambition there. There isn't any promotion there. There isn't any desire to run a church of 1,000. You know what he's doing? He's just telling a bunch of folks how much he loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how I love him, Savior and friend. How shall my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore. That's where I want my praises to sing forevermore. How deep tonight is your love for Him? How deep the Father's love for us? But how deep is your love for Him tonight? Oh, how I love Jesus. Let's all bow our heads.
All right. As Anna takes a moment to play, let me offer you an opportunity to come to the altar here. We'll stand and sing perhaps in a little while. More love to thee, O Christ. Exception to the spirit of this age. There's lots of ways to do that. It's the Word of God, doctrine. But down near the base of all that, the root of it all, the taproot, is a love for Jesus Christ. And thereby a love for the book. And a love for the Father that sent it. Need to concentrate on being the exception to the Laodicean church age, the Laodicean spirit, the average Christian, the normal Christian. Preached on that just a while back. find a songbook. Number 323. Number 323, let's stand. Come to you here tonight, and we stop and think about it. We know that the reason that you sent your Son to this earth for us was because you commended your love to us through Him. And it ought to be absolutely the most elementary thing on the face of this earth that we should return that love unto Thee for the rest of our lives for such a great love. And Father, you know what we face down here. You know the constant tuggings of heart, the world, the flesh, the devil, all of the things that battle against pure affection like you've set in order. And Lord, we fail in this. We are sinners in that too. We trespass. I pray, Lord, you would help the folks here within the sound of our voices here tonight, rise above this, Lord. We fight it all the time. But we of all folks should have a clearer vision than many of the Christians, perhaps even in this life. We've been given a true spirit, a pure spirit, a spirit of truth. We have the true God. We know the true Savior. We have a pure and true book. Lord, I pray you'd give us true hearts to minister in these things. Father, we are supposed to love you, again, to put a smile on your face, not just a smile on our own. Lord, we pray you'll bless as we are dismissed tonight. If there's somebody here that's never trusted Christ, I hope they might consider the great love wherewith He loved us. When we were dead in sins, He came and died for our sins. Lord, I pray that You'd bless. Give us a good day tomorrow. We look forward to the return tomorrow night. Bless the preacher as he prepares. And Father, bless us as we prepare to hear. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. 7 o'clock tomorrow night. You have a